We're off to a great start. My computer just froze, so see if we can get this thing back up and running.
Here, Mr. Becker live.
We're good. I think I got it.
Oops. That's a home phone calling.
Wow.
Can I stop that?
We never get phone calls. What's going on in Florida, Mr. Becker?
Well, Tropical Storm Andrea is gone, all but the shouting of it. And looking forward to a halfway decent weekend coming up.
Very cool. Yeah, we are too. We had a decent weekend once she got out of here, but kind of ruined Friday and some of Saturday. But Saturday afternoon through Sunday was pretty nice. It did move fast like they predicted. Not fast enough for Friday. I had to cancel a trip with two, but that's all good. They rescheduled for this Friday, so back on the water we go. So what's the big bite down there? What are you guys into the most? You there?
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm getting a feedback loop here, so I'm just waiting for that to resolve. So I'm listening to you twice.
Having computer issues.
Going to be redfish, snook, and trout this weekend, maybe some flounder. I'm hoping the waters have settled back down a little bit. And I know there'll be some guys out off the beaches looking for tarpon. I know the bite was fairly slow before this past storm came through. And we're hoping that the fish are a little bit more active now as the season moves on. So
cool. Very cool. Yeah, we've had good fishing going on up here. We've had a lot of our cobia came a little early, I think, what usually we see. I mean, we've had cobia bites been good already, which that's something I gotta talk about tonight too. Wow, I'm glad I thought about that. Redfish have been doing real well in the inlets and all over. Flounder bite's been great, as my wife can attest to. I don't know if you saw the picture from this past weekend, but she had another slab of a flounder she pulled out of Lynnhaven.
Yes, I did see that. That's monstrous big.
For you guys, it's monstrous big.
Yeah, exactly. It's good fish, but the best part about that was it was her first cast. I was still just meandering, paddling behind, catching up. I saw a rod bent over, and I was like, oh, what the heck? And next thing I know, she's like, we're in a little local fishing tournament that day. I'm getting the high sign to come on over, you know. And next thing I know, I get over there, almost 21-inch flounder comes flying out of the water. So good way to start the day on Sunday, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Very good. Who else we got on the board? Let me see who's all in the chat room. Now my computer's back up and running. I'm doing too many things at one time, I guess.
I dare you to say Mr. Hanks' last name live on the air. I know you can see that.
Brazen Belcher. Brazen Betchel. Betchler?
In
hey,
German.
Hank, how about that? I got that. Hey. Okay. Well, he's going to be Hank for the rest of the night.
Andy is with us live, too, I think.
All right, we'll get
what's
to Andy.
What's going on?
Andy, what's up, brother? Hold tight. I want to say hello to everybody else in here and get the show going here. I was froze up computer when we started. I don't know what was going on there, but back up and running. So as you just said, we got Andy, Mr. Becker, who's on the phone, Brian Vincent. Good job this weekend up there at Appomattox. Brian, pictures you did for the demo day turned out really nice on the Appomattox Facebook page. I was checking them out when I got home from work today. Chris Johnson down in Florida, getting ready to be invaded in October. Chris is in the area of the next boondoggle, which is coming October 14th in the, what is that, Columbus Day weekend. If you're not familiar, go check out yakangler.com/boondoggle. They're doing a lot of work getting this baby prepped up and running, so it should be a great event. Good turnouts, I'm sure, as always. Go over to yakangler.com, get all your information there. Mr. Becker, are you making the trip up?
It's possible. Unfortunately, that's still a good part of the hurricane season here, so
tied up with things going on.
So it's going to be weather and reaction dependent to what happens down here. With my day-to-day job, so.
I understand that totally, yeah. So, well, we won't be there, but I know you guys will have it for everybody who is going. It's going to be a great time. So we'll be there in thought. Well, we're going to be fishing the Oak Island tournament, which we'll get up to as it gets closer to give everybody information on that event. If you're not attending the boondoggle, come on out to North Carolina. But we'll get to that later. got several guests in there. Guests, you can log in if you'd like to join the chat room with a Facebook or Twitter account or create a Blog Talk Radio account, and then you can participate in all the shenanigans that goes on in the chat room. Or as I like to say, sometimes it might be safer just to sit back and watch it all go by. That way
you don't have
to feel like...
Russell is working real hard. First red card, I told him he didn't lower his cap. I'm a totem, too.
Oh, big cap Russ. Reverend Tickle getting out of hand already. Hank's there. Michael Ortega. How's it going, Michael Ortega? Ortega, listen to me. Michael Ortega, what's going on, Mike? Tackle Wes. Very cool. See you back in the show, Mike. Thanks for joining us tonight. Philly Joe, we're going to get to your weekend here in a second. Tennessee Bridges. I think that's a new listener. Well, if it is, it'll change name. Thanks for joining us tonight. Tommy here, Jake. Tommy, how's it going? Matt, R. Lee's in the house. And our transplanted Marine is down in Camp Lejeune, Jay Brooks, Virginia Kayak Angler, join us tonight. And if you're listening to us on one of the apps for either your Google, Android product, or Apple, thank you for listening. And for all the people who catch us later on in the podcast, we appreciate it. All right, let's see. What we got? You said Andy's on the phone. We got Greg there. You hang out with us, Mr. Becker. Got anything to share? Just jump right in as it goes. Andy. So you've had an exciting day, I see. I've been following you there on Facebook. You got to, you know, phones and gutters full of rainwater do not work together.
Well, holes in the roof and wet sheetrock and all kinds of fun stuff today.
Had it been blowing.
Welcome to home ownership. I saw somebody wrote that on your wall earlier today, but yeah, welcome to home ownership. Can't call a landlord anymore.
No, definitely not.
If there's anything I can do to help you out over there in the house, you let me know, man.
I will do. I appreciate it.
I know a good number for a roofer.
Yeah. Well, I did get that taken care of today.
Cool.
So, but yeah, I wanted to give you guys a call and go over a little tournament we had this weekend. I thought it was pretty successful. I had a good time. I saw a lot of people there who I've never met before, which I think is awesome because I love seeing our club grow. We ended up, I think it was 31 anglers, and we ended up raising right around $930, which is all going to One Fund Boston, which goes to victims from the bombing. Joe Massini and Tom Ataw, Matic, whatever his last name is, they both did a lot and really made a lot of the stuff work. And everyone knows how Joe gets, how he starts stressing out. So he was tagged, but he did a great job. And like always, it's good to see a bunch of friends out there and get together, have a couple drinks afterwards, and tell some stories. So
it was a great time. I don't know why Joe stressed so much. I think him and Tom and everybody did a great job, and thanks to Salty Seas for letting us come and bathe part of their restaurant on Sunday afternoon. We had a good time down there. And I was pretty surprised, and, I mean, $900-some for 30-some people on a basically quick thrown-together tournament is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah,
it was
awesome.
Yeah. So.
It was great. But, we had some pretty good catches. I know I actually thought this division, the Croker division, would be a bust, but there were some good some pretty decent participation in it. I was pulling for Tom Vanderheiden. I thought for sure he would pull up with a stringer full of Croker of all people, but he let me down.
and Tommy V, he hasn't made it in here yet, but we'll sure.
So we'll go over the Croker division real quick.
If you're listening,
I pronounced your name wrong. I'm sorry. I'm horrible with names. Bob Demmel with an 11.25-inch Croker. He placed third. Jimmy Miller, Speed Hot Sauce. 14.5 inches for second place. Kyle Sullivan with a 14.625, which I guess that was pretty close there. Like I said, I'd never met Kyle before. Good to to see new people out there. The big mention about this, and I know Joe had said something about this, was Joe Underwood's son, Wyatt, who I almost said we should just let him register too and just let him take first place in the croaker division. But Joe Underwood's four-year-old son caught a 15-inch croaker. And, they put a good little fight on, but I think that's pretty commendable that he was able to pick that out of the water, reel it in, and catch it all by himself at 4 years old. I think that's pretty cool. So honorable mention to that. But
very cool. Yeah, it's funny.
I know
Joe told a story when his son's rod started going off. Ding, ding. Little man just held right on and kept that croaker at bay. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
and then
he also deserves an honorable mention of definitely one of the cutest little boys around. That little boy is so adorable. Cute, cute, cute.
Yeah, maybe that'll be a division in our big tournament in September, but I'll probably end up taking that one myself.
Adorable kid tournament?
Yeah. we also had the largest saltwater species, Tom Mataw, with a blistering 10 1/4-inch round head. I'm really proud of him.
He should be.
I sent that. Yeah, good job, Tom. And then Tim Quintana with a 21 1/2-inch cow nose ray, which just measuring that alone is a feat in itself. If you ever got one on a boat or got up on a deck, how they're flapping around. And so, I mean, that's good on him. He's that's another one. Probably I would have just cut the line and let it go.
Yeah, anybody that lands a skate and gets it on a measuring board, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. But then we also had our final division, our two fish slam, which was made up of redfish, trout, and flounder. Your largest of any of those three, two fish combination. Lewis, I'm not totally sure how to pronounce it. I think it's either Gwyn or Wern, but I know he's a TKA member. He placed fourth. We actually slid a fourth place spot in there because we only had two entrants for the largest saltwater species. So we slid a fourth place spot in there for his total was 31 3/4 inches. A red and a flounder. I placed in third with a 32 1/2 red and flounder. Chris Lozier in between third and second place is a pretty big gap. In both the first and second place, people had some pretty commendable catches. Chris had a 37 1/4-inch total for red and flounder. And then, of course, hot hands, Joe Underwood, with a 38 1/2-inch red flounder total to win the two fish slam division. But overall, it was a good tournament. It was a lot of fun. I hope we can do something like that again. And that's pretty much all I got for you guys.
Well, thanks for calling in and updating us, and thank you to everybody who participated in the event. I know Joe's happy it's over, but he did a great job along with Tom. And good to see everybody out this Sunday. Like you said, it's nice to always see new faces in the sport and in the club. Again, hats off to Salty Seas for that's our second time there now for doing a local kayak event and invading the restaurant. They stepped up. And very nice host. So anybody's in the area, go check out Salty Seas and get some fine food. And as Joe would let you know, they also have cold beer, which they did have plenty of cold beer that day, which we all deserved.
Yeah. And definitely try the fried macaroni and cheese. It's awesome.
Well, it's also commendable to note the fact that what was the grand total entered or people paid? 43 people?
Yeah. I think it was something like that. I'm not totally sure what the total entered was.
And I believe the grand total was something around $935. That's almost $1,000 raised.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely
good job,
something
good
for
job.
All of our all of our clubs in the area to be proud of.
Yeah, well, we're a good community. I like to always think kayakers, not saying that the other anglers out there, people in boats, not saying that they're not, but I think locally we have a good bunch of good core of people that like to get together and do things for the right reason and just to hang out. And that's what, you know, I've said it once,
definitely.
I've said it a million times that, you know, when it comes to tournaments and all that stuff, don't think about the tournament word. Think about the event, getting together, getting to see people that you don't normally get
to see
or meet new people. So anytime you locally see something coming up in your area, go join it. Go check it out. Have some fun. You might learn something, make some new friends, maybe weasel your way into somebody's fishing spot. I don't know. But
yeah, definitely.
Get some intel.
Yep.
So, well, cool, Andy. Like I said, if you got any help with the house, I'll find out who I can find to help you. No, I'll give you a hand, brother.
Right.
You just give us a call if there's something we can do. Get them fans running
to y'all
out of water. That's the first thing you do. Grind her out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hang in there with us. You going to stick around for the rest of the show? Go back to the chat
room. I'm
going to
jump off here. I'm going to have you guys up on the app, though.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks again.
All right.
All right, very cool. Yeah, it was a great week. Great day on Sunday. It was a busy weekend, I think, when Sunday night finally hit about 10 o'clock. Chris and I just pulled the plug and called it quits. We were on the go all weekend. Had a great time at the Appomattox River Company Demo Day. 04 wake up, 05 departing Virginia Beach for a three-hour drive. Great demo day, as always. Big turnout. Kind of started crappy. Still was raining a little. Mr. Becker and I were talking about at the top of the show. Andrea was still lingering around, some rain. She was lingering. About 10, 11 o'clock, I guess, it finally sun came out. Stayed pretty.
We all ended up with lovely mud pedicures.
Yeah, it was definitely muddy. So muddy I had to be towed out of the parking lot. I got stuck in the new truck.
I've
had three previous pickup trucks before this one, and I've always had four-wheel drive, and I never use it. This truck, I said, I never use four-wheel drive, so we won't get it. And guess what? I got stuck. But nice, we got gentlemen help pull me out, got back on the road, and came back home to do it all again and go fishing on Sunday. So, like I said, it was a busy, long, but very good weekend for us here. Hope everybody else got out some this weekend on the water after the storm blew through. And it looks like it's going to be a great week here. It's going to be real hot this week, though. So after today, I think I saw
tomorrow.
Yeah, 94 degrees. So start drinking plenty of water. What's going on in the chat room? Everybody behaving?
Well, Andy just pointed out he really wanted to plug Philly Joe because Joe did the same thing we did. Joe worked the demo day all day on Saturday and then ended up coming fishing on Sunday with us. So hats off to Silly Joe, once again with the cute little boy. There you go. How was that? Did that make you happy?
Joe keeps his eye on this kid when Chris is around. Anybody else on the phone? Am I missing anybody? I'm trying to...
Not at this point. It's just asking Mr. Becker. Here, hit a button. I guess we should. I'm trying to find the right one. Okay, here we go.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Yachtangler.com, same website we use. Can get all your information on the boondoggle coming up in October. All right, well, I got time then. I'm going to go ahead. We're waiting on Ryan to call in, so I'm going to go ahead and do my fishing report from my good friend Philip Ruckert down in North Carolina. He was prompting early this week. He got it to me yesterday because he said he's going to have a busy day today. So we'll see what's going on down in North Carolina. And once again, the topic starts with Andrea dumped nearly 7 inches of rain on central NC over the past 3 days. Local rivers were washed, but there are a few reservoirs that fished the same after heavy rains. Deep diving crankbaits at reach structure are working well for fish, she says. They have settled into their summer pattern. The Neuse River around New Bern, So for all you North Carolina guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have 20-plus inch striper have been hitting topwater baits well in the AM along the grass. The bite was continuing through the afternoon by switching the swim baits deeper in and around structure. Most of the specks and reds have moved down the river below Oriental. Jay Brooks. All the rain from the Piedmont should be reaching the coastal rivers by this weekend and will be sure to change up the pattern from last week. Baits that throw some flash and sound will help find your baits when the water dirties up. And he's got one upcoming event by him, and that would be the Get Outdoors. He'll be hosting a on-the-water demo this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Guilford side of Lake McIntosh. And for more information, go to shopgetoutdoors.com/demo days. As always, thanks, Philip, for sending in your report. And even early this week. All right. Yeah, he has a good point he made there, and I was thinking about that on the Sunday because all that rain. What are you going to do when you get that much rain in the area? And it's always good to think about increasing the size of your lures that you're going to present and maybe get a little stinkier, if you will, for the break out the gulps, the whole soaking procure, but definitely increasing where you maybe would normally throw a 3 or 4 inch shad, maybe throw something a little bigger, a little thicker bait or something like that, because the water's dirtier, the fish are still there, they're still going to want to eat, but a little harder for them to find it sometimes. Some flash, spoons, spinner baits, things like that. I mean, it's always good to start with a spoon or a spinner bait in my book anyway to kind of dissect the water. I threw a lot of spoons on Sunday, but it didn't work out for me that day. But anyway, something like that, flashy around the water, something to get their attention, more vibration. So if you're faced with a situation where you're just going to have to fish on a day after or a couple days after a lot of rain or the water's real muddy, chocolate milk looking, go a little bigger. If you're going for top water, same thing, where you normally maybe would throw something small, throw something a little bigger because the silhouette's going to be a lot less for them to see. So increase the size of your lure will help a lot in situations like that. Same thing when it's real churned up, if you just got a real windy day or it's blowing pretty hard or something like that, and the water's kind of messy, just swirled around. If you get a little bigger bait, a little flashier bait, or again, a little stinkier. So for all the gulp throwers and anything like that, or using Procure on your plastic, something to kind of help them find the lure that they're looking for. Or something like the new jig head that Chris and I have been using, the Rockport Rattler jig head, which has a little rattler inside. Well, it's actually molded to the jig head, so as opposed to the glass tubes that you can insert into your plastic body, which really get muffled because you're sticking it inside the plastic, so it doesn't work as loud as the jig heads that I'm talking about. You can go check them out, Rockport Rattlers. But they've been working really well because the rattle chamber is connected to the jig head and the hook, so the vibration goes throughout the whole jig head, if you will, so it gives you a little better for definitely situations like that where they can't necessarily find the bait as easily because of the water being churned up like it is. All right, what else we got going on? What are everybody talking about? Joe got a stockpile of horseshoes, the golden horseshoe. Billy Joe's been on a roll here lately, winning tournaments and getting things going. All right, well, we still have our other caller in, so I'm going to talk about something else that I was watching go on today all day, and it was kind of, I don't know if the word humorous is proper to use in this or not, but if anybody hasn't been paying attention, Ocean Kayak is unveiling a new boat. So on Thursday, the new kayak is coming out, Ocean Kayak. Johnson Outdoors is really probably the proper way to say it. Johnson Outdoors is going to be unveiling a new kayak, the Predator. They've been teasing everybody with little hints of something new's coming out in the market. And next week on the show, we'll have John Ost with Ocean Kayak and Johnson Outdoors to be talking to us about this new kayak that was supposed to be Thursday. It was the first time that the public was going to get a sneak peek of this boat. But the social media monster has reared its head, and I'm not going to tell you where to go look because maybe you can still be surprised on Thursday morning when you get to see the picture. But, yeah, it's kind of already out and floating around out there. So it's kind of funny to me just because this industry, I've said it once and I'll say it probably 100, it's a huge industry, but it's very small, and people don't realize that, and, you know, they start thinking that there's so much going on in the kayak world and the kayak fishing community, but it's pretty small out there, so it only takes one little oops, and next thing you know, your whole cover's blown in this case, so the little boat that could kind of got blown out of the water a little too soon. I kind of feel bad for the people at Johnson because they spent some time, money, and put some effort into keeping it as a quiet thing, and it kind of got released a little early. So, but as I was saying, we're going to have John Oates on next week to talk about the new boat that they just came out with, and all the work that went into getting it developed. It's got to be pretty tough. I'm glad I'm not a kayak manufacturer these days, because this, where do you go from here kind of thing. I mean, everybody's got something, but it's going to be a point where there's not a lot to, I don't know what else you can do to kayaks here pretty soon, between what you can, what they come from the manufacturer, and then what the great things like Luther from Yak Attack is doing for accessorizing your boat. So it's going to become more and more difficult for the industry, I think, to impress the angler, if you will. You can tweak them so much, but I think you're going to have to really, you have to do stuff nowadays that's really going to people set people back and say, wow, I wish we thought of that, or that's exactly what I've been looking for in a kayak. So, yeah, Rick Burnley got one. You see, Rick kept his in a wrapper when he put it online. I did see Rick's picture. He did the right thing by keeping it all wrapped up. But, yeah. Mr. Becker, are you still with us? He muted himself.
Still here.
Okay. I didn't know if you were. I mentioned Luther twice then, so I didn't know if your ears perked up if you got excited when I mentioned Luther.
Yeah, you know, I was actually sending them a note on Facebook letting them know that you had mentioned them on the show, so.
No, they... Wow. What's your
just,
take on that, Mr. Becker?
Just,
give me
just
your
do,
take
just
on
doing my
the
part,
kayaks.
Brother.
I got you. Thanks for the plug. I'll tell you later. What do you think about that, the industry as a whole with kayaks? And I know you do a lot of work with Yak Angler for doing product reviews and things like that, so... I mean, look at it now. Look at, you know, I said it this past weekend at the demo day. I am glad, and I think I said it last week too when we talked to Vic from Appomattox, that I'm glad that now I'm not just getting into the sport, because there's such a selection out there now. There's so many great boats. There is. There's a lot of good boats out there. There's a lot of boats that fit everybody's different fishing personalities, if you will. So to have to walk out and make a decision today on what kayak I need, it'd probably be very difficult, as opposed to 8-10 years ago when myself and a lot of other people got started, where it was, you know, there's two or three sit-on top boats that you could really say, yeah, that's going to be a good fishing platform. So what do you think about all that now? What's the manufacturer's got to do to keep up with the industry?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that there are a ton of boats out there that are just right. You know, there's no reason these days why somebody can't find a kayak that will do what they want, is appropriate for the water they fish, for their style of fishing, for the amount they want to fish, and generally speaking, within their price range. And then I remember, you know, I started fishing out of kayaks in New York back when my fishing kayak was an old 15th or 16th hand fiberglass sit inside kayak that I used an old truck tire from our farm to make a skirt to try and keep some of the splash out, and I put it on with wood screws. So that was it was a little bit after the stretched seal hide over whalebone concept, but it wasn't that far into it.
Right.
I think people who are looking for kayaks now have a couple of challenges. I think the first is getting the exposure to the number of different kayaks that are really out there, and not jumping at the first boat they see. That's why demo days are such a great thing, because they can get a look at a lot of different boats. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are coming to this sport, at least people I've talked to who have initially gotten turned off, are experiencing the same thing that people who walk into a big box store that has a sporting goods section and want to get into fly fishing. They're finding the same thing. You know, people walk into a store, go back, pick up an inexpensive or really in most cases a very cheap fly fishing setup that's meant to appeal to somebody's eye on the shelf. They bring it out. They can't cast it worth a damn. They don't catch fish with it. They get very frustrated after having to go to the emergency room three times to get clousers unhooked from the back of their scalp. And they quit. They leave the sport without finding out what it really has to offer and what they really could have done with the right equipment. And I'm concerned now that so many folks, you know, for a long time, kayaks were available from people who sold kayaks. That's what they did. They sold, you know, there were float stores that sold canoes. They sold boats. They knew what they were talking about. They could give people good advice, and they could point them in the right direction to really find out what type of boat they were looking for. Now I'm concerned that there are folks who are trying to get into this hobby who see it as a way to get out, you know, of the gas burners and get away from the gas bill and the engine repair bill and the insurance and everything else, still get out on the water and have a good time. But they walk into that same big box environment, perhaps talk to somebody whose last job was asking, don't fries with that, and now they're getting themselves into a kayak that is not going to do what they want it to do, is not going to match the type of fishing that they're not going to get a good paddle, they're going to get tired. They're really not getting the right advice to get the right boat. With that said, I firmly believe that there is a place in the recreational once a month, have a couple kayaks on the shore for the summer camp, you know, at the camp on the lake where you go during the summer for a lot of those types of boats. I just don't think most of them, from what I've seen, are not really set up for fishing. And the people who are selling them aren't the right people to be giving the advice and having the experience to know how to guide somebody through that process. So with that said, I think it's important for people to be talking to the right dealers when they're looking for kayaks. I think it's important for at every single opportunity, test everything you can. You know, don't just go out and test the kayak. Go test the kayak, and you think you like, find one you're comfortable in. Then paddle every single paddle on the rack and see what it is that fits your style.
You know, it's funny you say that because I have people this weekend. Can I try another one? I was like, you can try every boat. I want you to try every boat.
That's
and
it.
I encourage people when I'm working at the native booth is try to flip it. Try to, you know, you came out here, you gotta put this thing to a test. It's like I always laugh and chuckle back in my boating days when people say, yeah, I'm going to go try a new boat tomorrow. It's supposed to be real nice out. It's like, why are you going? Why are you going on a real nice day to try out a boat? You're going to go on a piece of plywood will float on a calm day. You know,
right.
You want to go out when it's crappy. You want to take that kayak and you want to try to push it to its limit. And, you know, I had a couple people that they literally intentionally would, you know, I'll use a Slayer as an example, would stand up on it and would push it past its secondary stability just to see how far, I mean, everything, you're going to fall out or it's going to flip. That's going to happen, in, you know, no matter what kayak you take out. But, you know, and I applaud those people because it's just what you're saying. You go try it, try everyone. But at the same time, don't try every one that's just because it's there. You got to try the ones that are going to fit your fishing expectations, I guess, or what
right.
you're going to try to do with that kayak. So, you know, if you're going to be on a small river, you don't need to be out there in a 16-foot boat trying it all the time because you're probably not going to get a 16-foot boat for a small river.
And that's a perfect transition into my next comment, which was don't let the first time that you talk to people who are doing the kind of fishing you want to do, the first time you talk to them should not be when you pull up and start unloading your kayak where they are. Go out, look at the places you want to talk to, talk to people who are fishing there. You know, it's true that everybody's got an opinion and there are comments to be made about that one way or the other, but the best information you can find frequently comes from the people who are out there doing what you want to do. So they're also great sources of information. So, I'm not sure if that answered the question you asked me, but it's a direction.
Yeah, no, that's good. And it's a good segue because our next caller is on the line, and we're going to switch from selecting kayaks but to selecting rods. And I have Ryan, you on the phone?
Yeah, man, I'm here. How's it going, Mark?
What? That's going very well, man, very well. Ryan White, who is with Hatteras Jack, owner of Hatteras Jacks down in North Carolina, if everybody's not familiar in the Outer Banks. Ryan also is a incredible rod. Manufacturer, maker, I don't know what the proper term is to use there, but Ryan has put out some great, is putting out some great rods, excuse me. And so he's called in tonight. He's going to talk to us about his Century rod blanks and what he's doing with them down there. Ryan makes some big old lightning pole rods too, 14-footer, big old Hatteras Heaver kind of rods, but he's also into the inshore and the smaller rods too, and even has done some nice fly rods that Chris and I happen to have the privilege to go down to his shop and see them being made even and talk to Ryan. So Ryan's with us tonight to kind of share some of that. So what's going on in Hatteras? Let's talk about fishing real quick first, because that's what this is a fishing show. So what's the bite down there? What's going on?
Man, right now the drummer, the puppy drummer, just chewing the grass off the dunes on the sound side, man. I mean, it is really, the fishing down here right now for puppy drums, just unbelievable.
Really?
A lot of slot fish. I mean, we're catching them right from the shore. It is dynamite, man. I mean, we're having 30 and 40 fish nights.
You listening, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
Father's Day. We're gonna take a Father's Day trip this weekend.
There you go, man. I'll tell you, it's been awesome, man. With the ocean being kind of slack because of the southwest wind. I mean, the sound has been red hot from the shore, just chunking some baits, man. Just real easy fishing, and it's been awesome. So I can't really complain too much.
So when you say that, that's like right behind the shop, basically, you're talking about, that whole body right behind you?
Yeah, over on the sand, and then the Pamlico Sound. When it's blowing southwest, you get an onshore wind down here. And typically, like by the second day of the southwest wind, pretty much along the whole east-west facing part of the island is really good for really good fishing on the west side where the wind's blowing right on shore. It blows the bait and everything right up to the shore side, and essentially all you're doing is casting out far enough to get along the grass line on the sound side, and you know, we're pulling some real quality fish out of there. We've got them up to 36 inches so far this year.
Wow. What's the out-of-state fishing license down there for a day? How much?
It's $10 for 10 days for a fishing license for an out-of-state. So if you're not a North Carolina resident, it's $10 for 10 days or $30 for a year.
Wow.
Got the wheels turning. Got the wheels turning on the other half side of the house.
We might
be coming to see you this weekend, Ryan.
All right, man. Well, come on down. I've actually got a rod that I put together for you to let you try out and see what you think of it. I just got some more prototypes in of our back bay series that I've been working on for about the past 6 months or so.
Let's stop there and back up a little. So let's tell the listeners and everybody what type of rod blanks, who are you working with on these? And I mean, I know what's going on, but just kind of give us a little history of what's going on with these rods you're talking about.
All right. Well, I don't know. It's been it's been over 10 years ago. I started working with this company, Century Composites, out of Great Britain. They build a lot of they build the longest casting rods in the world. They hold pretty much for surf fishing. They hold all the world distance records for 4, 5, and 6 ounce sinkers. I got to dealing with them through tournament casting, which I was pretty active in. And I still do a few tournaments here and there, but they had these amazing surf rods made out of these amazing composites. They got everything from boron to titanium fibers and all sorts of what they refer to as exotic fibers in them. And the thing was, they didn't have anything for the U.S. market. So about the past 6 or 7 years, I've been working with Century out of Great Britain, who is currently building a lot of like parts for the F1 McLaren and other Formula One cars. But I started working with them and designing rods for the U.S. market. And, in the past past 6 or 7 years, we have come up with some really cool stuff and made a lot of waves in the surf fishing community. And we just started out about the past 2 years, we've started working on boat rods and back bay rods, estuary rods, which are just now coming to fruition. And I hope to have them in production sometime this summer.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, so we really thought about the kayak guys a lot when we came up with this back bay and estuary rods. You know, one of the guys, actually the guy that builds a lot of the rods that that we send out, Jim Folk, he is a very avid kayak fisherman and works out of the shop down here. So being as he was involved and just the growing kayak market, we really wanted to get in and do something for the kayak fishermen. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our standard builds, and then we're going to do an actual do a kayak version of these rods. One thing that's really cool about them is they do high stick very well. I mean, you can almost bend the things around like an ugly stick, and they're a very high modulus, very crisp, very fast rod.
Cool. So, I was looking in the chat room there. Somebody was asking about how far do they throw. So I don't know.
How far do they throw? I was
fishing talking
flounder.
About your surf
oh,
rods.
The surf,
what you were doing.
The surf rods. Well, the guy who casts for the Century Factory team, Danny Muscops, he's a Belgian, and he holds a world record right now for well over 900 feet.
Wow.
I think it's, I'm wanting to say 943 feet world record cast. You can Google it. He's got a website, DannyMoscops.com, but it's pretty amazing.
All right, let me ask you this, because I have no clue about these surf rod competitions. What is it that went 900 and some feet? What are they casting that is it that went that far? What's on the end of the line?
Pretty much. In the tournaments, it's just a sinker. It's the sinkers are shaped like a football, and they're lead, just straight lead sinker, nothing fancy about them. But you have different weight classes. You have 4, 5, and 6 ounce class, and then there's a few subcategories that aren't as widely used. But the 4, 5, and 6 ounce are pretty much your standard, and they have different size lines for them. And it's kind of like bracket racing. You go against people of your equal casting ability. But what they are is they're a football-shaped sinker, 4, 5, 6 ounce. Most guys are using 13 to 15-foot rods. Danny actually set the world record with a Century TTR, which is a total tournament rod. And they have some of their new stuff coming out, which is made out of the 3M nano resins. They're calling it the Excalibur series. And we have several different rods made out of that. And we actually have a few rods that were developed in England by Keith White with Century. And he is a very avid kayak fisherman. And we have a few of those rods that are available right now, which are just incredibly light and incredibly strong.
Cool. I'm putting up a link to the Century U.S. site.
Can we ask price points on those, Brian?
Our entry stuff's not too bad. But when you get into the HPR or the Excalibur, there's a, you know, it's you better hold on to your shorts.
You can't afford it, right?
Yeah, the Slingshot and Stealth back bay rods are going to be around the $300 mark, and if you want to get into the HPR stuff, you're looking into the $500 range. But you know, when you get into that $500, you're talking tie guides and all the fancy stuff on there too. So you
at that point, you also have option of customization as far as colors and stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most of the HPR stuff, the high-performance resin, the Excalibur, that is you know, when we do that, we really don't carry many of those rods pre-built. Like the slingshots and the stealth and stuff, you can call me up most any day and I'll have something built up. You know, I can send it out that day. But, you know, as far as when you get into the HPR stuff, the nano resins technologies, most of that stuff's one-off builds.
So back to the kayak angling rods now. Now that I've gotten schooled on these surf fishing competitions there, so what are we looking at with these inshore, estuary, back bay rods? What kind of blanks, what kind of grips are we? Well, you already mentioned the blanks, I guess. So what are the grips that you're going to be putting on them?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing a couple of different builds. We're doing our standard boat build, which is a full cork butt and full cork foregrip. And we're going to be doing the, as a standard build, what we call our production rod. It's going to have the BYAG and L Fuji guides on it, Fuji reel seat. And we're also going to do a kayak version, which is going to have a little shorter butt on it, split grip, lanyard clip on it, someplace around the butt cap. We haven't quite figured that part out yet. And we are going to use the probably going to be doing the titanium nickel recoil guides on it, which don't have any ceramics in them. So there's really, you know, you can bang them around, drop your kayak on it, that kind of thing. You don't have to worry about knocking the rings out of the guides.
No, we don't do that. We're all just out here.
We just
break
talk about hair.
Well, it brings up a good point, though, because we just recently at this household experienced a high stick broken rod. And I want to talk about that because that's a big concern, I guess, or maybe people don't know it's a concern for kayak anglers till they do it, is high sticking. And it's kind of hard not to sometimes, just because you're trying to get that fish to the boat at the same time. And there's a lot of things that go on that, you know, between your excitement and trying to land the fish. So maybe you could explain some of the backbone of the rod, the parabolics and all those things that are involved in the high sticking factor or whatever.
Well, what happens, what you consider a high stick, is bringing the rod tip more than 90 degrees towards the plane that the butt of the rod's on. So if you bend your rod tip more than 90 degrees, you're effectively high sticking it, which means, you know, the time when you're trying to pull the fish up to your kayaks, you can get your hands on them, you know, whether you're going to release them, whether you're going to throw them in the boat, whatever you're going to do, you need to be able to bring that tip up high, so you can get your reach out there and get a hold of the fish. And what happens when you get rods that are, you know, they go for too high a modulus, you hear about the 50 million modulus and things like that. If you get that straight modulus blend, you take the ability to high stick rod or bend the rod more than 90 degrees, it cuts it back drastically, which leads to failure. What we're doing with this is we're doing a blended carbon. So we have everything from a T700, which is what most of our inshore stuff is based on, and that's a intermediate higher modulus. But we have blended boron and all sorts of good stuff thrown in there also, and really allows this rod, this whole line of rods, to bend. I mean, I can pretty much take any of them and bend them straight in 180 degrees.
Wow.
And they do pretty well with it. You know, I wouldn't want to try it with a 30-pound drum on it or anything like that. But, you know, if you're within the realm of reasonable fish, you know, pulling a 3 or 4 pound fish up on a high stick's not going to be a real big issue at all.
Very cool.
For the record, I would like to interject at this point, that fish was worth every inch of that broken rod, honey.
Hey, there's this saying that I have, that it's whatever it takes.
Somebody in the chat room asked, what about rod lengths that float?
We can do a certain amount to
enhance the buoyancy of the rod, which will give you a little bit more time to chase your rod down. But a floating rod, I mean, you know, aside from having balloons taped to the bottom of it with the, you know, with the real weight and everything like that, it's going to be, you know, it's kind of a tall request. But what we do to what we can do on kayak builds and things like that to enhance the flotation of the rod is using longer foregrips, using as light a components as we can, and on your behalf when you go to select a reel to go on your rod, is look for something that's maybe a little lighter, something like a carbon fiber body reel, like Shimano makes the CI4 Sustains and Stratix, and they're very light. So that'll help keep your rod from going down as fast. But the longer foregrips are a big thing, and larger grips on it in general. Found a lot of people like the larger grips as far as you know, not getting hand cramps and things like that while fishing for long hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's talking about that, but I think I've found, and it kind of goes with a lot of things, when you put a little more money into it, you're a little more apt to take care of it and pay attention to it, too, when you're out there underwater. Same thing with sunglasses. You buy your sunglasses at Walmart, you'll sit on them in the car seat. You buy a pair of Maui Jims or Costas, you pretty much have them hanging around your neck the whole time because you don't want to, you know, just be careless with them. Same thing with your rods and reels and things like that. You know, you take good care of them. I mean, accidents happen. We all know that. But, I mean, you can't fix that. But as far as being a little more cautious on the water and with us in the kayaks, I mean, you do have to pay attention. But, so I don't think the leash thing.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, I was just saying they were talking about leashes and stuff like that, but that's just something else to get in the way and something else when you're fighting the fish. It's like I'm pretty sworn against nets because I've seen too many fish beaten off the hook with a net, you know, people trying to get the fish over and trying to get the net under, and you're just beating the crap out of the fish before you ever get it in the net and knock it off or something. So
you just
need one more thing, one more chink in the armor, having that leash out there and getting wrapped around something, or I don't know. Just too many moving parts gets crazy on the water.
Yeah, we are going to be putting a lanyard clip on that for those people who do fish with leashes, and you know, something you can at least strap it down with. We got a lot of guys that that go out into the surf with their boats down here too, and the lanyard clip we're putting on there is very good for coming in and going out of surf situations, because you know, man, you never know when you're going to get dumped.
Yeah.
So that's something we're working on also. But yeah, man, I'm a straight up minimalist myself when it comes to you know, what do you need? It's you know, go with as little as you have to.
So you're saying about the middle of summer you hope to see these rods out and available to the public?
Yep, that's what we're looking at. I should have my first order coming in sometime here in the next couple of weeks. So once we get the first order of them in, we've been prototyping them. I've had one of the prototypes is already on the market, the 965, which is our 8-footer, but that's a little bit long for the yaks. But our first rod of 6.6 and 7.6 rods should be in. I'm hoping by the end of the week, but you know, here within the next couple of weeks for sure. And once we get those in, I mean, they're going to go into production right away. As far as assemblies, we've already got the components and everything sitting in the shop right now. So it's just a matter of getting the blanks in here and going.
You had that one for me hidden to the side, right?
What's that?
You had that one for me hidden over to the side, right?
I got you one of our... one of our newest prototypes. We just got in our light version. We started out, see, the guys in the UK, phenomenal with carbon fiber, but just don't know anything at all about the U.S. market. I mean, nothing. So we're trying to communicate what we're looking for in the rod across the Atlantic Ocean without them ever having seen a lot of the stuff that we're doing. So it's a real interesting thing to try to get the point across to what you're doing to these guys. And once you do, I mean, the stuff they're doing is just incredible, man. Incredible stuff. But we started out, they kind of sent us some heavier stuff, which when I first got it over here, I was thinking, wow, is this really going to work for our area? And I wound up showing it to a few guys up in New Jersey, up on the Jersey Shore, who fish a lot of the backwaters and sounds up there. And they flipped out. They thought it was the greatest thing ever because, you know, they're dealing with striped bass up there and things like that. And we're mostly dealing with trout and flounder and redfish down here. So, you know, right. we're not dealing with a whole bunch of huge fish. You know, we're targeting, you know, up to 30, 35, 36 inches at the biggest redfish for the most part. And, you know, a lot of 2 and 3 pound trout and flounder. So we're looking for kind of a different animal down here than what they're looking for up in the Northeast, dealing with the stripers and big bluefish. So the stuff that I thought was too heavy for what I was working towards turned out to be just perfect for those guys up there. They were stoked. So we actually went ahead and did one more run. Then they came out with a middle range, what I would consider a middle range. And the last batch of prototypes, which just came in last week, I think they really hit the nail on the head this time with the powers and the deflections that we've got. I'm really, really super happy with it.
Very cool. So these ones that we're speaking of, we got some nice classes for throwing 8th quarter ounce jig heads in the shallows.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Very nice. Yeah.
Loading up well.
Yeah. Very, very nice, man. I mean, they're, I'll tell you what, man. If you go up on a school of tail and drum with these things, it gives you enough range where you don't have to be right up on top of them. I mean, you know, being a sentry is known for their distance. These rods are no exception to that rule. I mean, you can really reach out and touch them with this thing. I mean, they're very impressive, very impressive for distance.
Yeah.
The sensitivity is just crazy, man. I mean, you can drag it across a beer can on the bottom and tell what brand it is. So.
We'll have to test that theory out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, I've got one of these put together for you in a conventional and a 7.6.
All right.
So
it's
one of our moderate action, which is the stealth rod, and then our slingshot's our fast action. So it's a little more moderate action. I think you're going to like it a lot, man. And I think you'll be really, really pleased with the range and the sensitivity also.
We'll have to come down there and try it out on those stupid redfish, as you said, that are so thick and that are chewing the grass off the hill or whatever you said earlier.
Yeah.
So we'll have to put
man.
It to work. All right, so for all of our listeners here, we're getting a lot of good feedback in the chat. Everybody's saying it sounds very impressive. You know, looking forward to hearing more about them. How can they get in touch with you or find out more about the rods? Where can they go check everything out? I've been putting up the links to Sentry, but to you directly, Ryan, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is probably either call me on my cell or call me at the office would probably be the best thing. If you want to check out the Sentry website for the U.S., it's advancedfishing-usa.com. That's advancedfishing-usa.com. And we have phase one of the website up right now, which is all of our surf stuff. Phase two with the boat and backwater stuff is on its way. We're also going to incorporate a lot of rod building stuff, guides for you guys out there who build your own sticks. It's going to be we're going to have some videos up, you know, demonstrations of the rods. It's going to be pretty intense when we finally get it all finished up. But if you want to call me, you can reach me at the office at Hatteras Jack in Advanced Fishing. We work out of the same office. So that number is 252. That's East North Carolina area code 252-987-2428. And that'll get you directly to the front desk at the tackle shop. And if you wind up with a fishing emergency, you can give me a call on my cell phone. And that also is area code 252-216-5285.
And
you know, that's a good deal right there when a guy's giving out his cell phone number too. You know, he's standing up for his product right there.
Yeah. But
well, you know what else is cool is I want to let everybody know is that you know, and Chris and I witnessed it firsthand, that you can go down to the shop and see Ryan, and literally right out back he will take you. I saw you with that. You had a couple customers in there today. We were there, and he'll take you right out back there, let you cast the rod and see what it's like out back. You got that. So you're on the water for them, so they can check out the rods and come down for your surf rods and these new series we're talking about. They can come right to the shop and see them in person.
Yeah, we pretty much have a demo of just about everything that we have in stock build up. So, you know, if there's something you want to demo, come on down to the shop and we'll take you on out back and let you toss it a few times. Bring your reel with you. Bring anything you want to your reel, so you know you can put it on there and get the actual feel of it. Bring your favorite lures with you, whatever, and we'll go out and turn you loose with it.
See if we can get 900 yards of line out there, 900 feet of line, whatever.
Yeah, man.
See if we can get to the mainland of North Carolina.
Exactly.
You know, think about that. We may know a person that has that capability, Mark.
What?
They can dump a ton of line off a fly reel.
Oh, yeah, we do know that. Hey, let's talk about that real quick, then we'll let everybody get going, because we do have a couple of fly anglers in there. Mr. Becker was saying that your rods sound really awesome there, and I know he does a lot of flies. Are you going to be doing anything with that fly? That you showed me one fly rod that you had put together. Is that something you guys are thinking of still doing, or is that just a fun thing?
Yeah, we've got some prototypes floating around the East Coast right now. We've got like an 8-9 weight that's 10 feet, four piece. These are also nano resin technology rods.
Nice.
So they're very light and, again, very strong. And then we've got it progresses downward through the line down to a like a 7-6 three weight. So we've got and they're more of a moderate action rod. They're not a super fast rod. They're really good for dry flies, small clousers, things like that.
Gotcha.
But they're a real finesse rod, and they're very light, very strong. And then from there, we kind of jump up into Century's actually got a line of spey rods. If you go to their homepage, the UK page, which is century.gb.com, and GB is Great Britain, century.gb.com, you can see some of their spey line that they're offering. It's a two-handed fly rod. And they're doing for big game. It's probably a little bit large for doing the kayaks. But,
yeah,
we're gonna be pulling some new models of these fly rods here in the next year or so that we're gonna gear towards kayak and small boat fishing. You know, we're gonna be looking in the realm of 9 foot, 9 foot nine weight, 9 foot 10 weight, that kind of thing. Maybe even up to 11.
Very cool. Yeah, Mr. Becker spoke up there. His ears perked up now when we started talking fly equipment. So.
especially when you start talking about rods that are built a little bit more towards, oriented more towards finesse type casting rather than not that there's anything wrong with a rocket launcher. But, you know, a lot of people just look at a stiffer rod to see how much line they can load, to see how far they can throw. And I'm a huge fan of the mid-action rods that really allow you to do better casting. And frankly, depending on your casting style, you can throw very close to as far with a comparable line with a lot more accuracy and a lot more delicacy than you can with some of the heavier action rods. So kudos to you for looking at it that way. As a fly angler for a long time, I used to guide in New York for 20 years. I appreciate that.
Cool, man. Awesome. Glad to hear that. Well, yeah, if you ever want to try anything out, man, definitely get in touch with me, and I'll see if I can't get you a sample of them up there to play around with.
Mr. Becker's down in the sunshine state of Florida, so you might have a new customer coming from Florida there.
Well, actually, I'm probably going to be heading down to Florida here pretty soon to demo some of these back bay rods
down there. So I actually have a rep in Florida, Steve Austin, but he's pretty much a surf guy. He doesn't, not real big into the back bay stuff. But I'm planning on
$1 million man.
Yeah, Steve Austin, stone cold baby.
He's a distance caster.
We'll see how many people in here show their age tonight. Now, right? Oh boy, I made myself feel old too. So, all right. Well, very cool, Ryan. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it, man. Awesome. And you're. Call in anytime. Let us know as things progress with the rods, and I'm looking forward to getting one in my hand and get out there and try to catch, get out there and try to catch some of those. Like I said earlier, crazy reds you got in your backyard there. So,
Chris, yeah, man,
and I
come on
talk
down.
About and see if we come down.
Yeah, if you
What's
can
that?
Make it down this weekend, come on down, man. I'll take you out to my honey hole.
All right, yeah, we'll work on it. I'll have to go. Chris and I will talk about it when we get off the air, if you know what I mean. We don't want everybody what day we're going to come down. We're going to Fredericksburg on Saturday and Sunday. No.
We'll be in Fredericksburg,
Follow us to Fredericksburg for the shad fishing on Saturday and Sunday.
Well,
we'll just see.
Neither Mark or I have cell phone reception down there, so, hey, we could be anywhere.
like a ghost on the radar, man.
As long as you don't do that, what do they call that? Who watches Duck Dynasty in here? That's somebody does the bag technique where they took the guy fishing, they put the bag over his head, and then once they got to the spice, they took the bag back off his head. So, as long as you don't do that to us.
No, you'll be good.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, again, thanks a lot for calling in, Ryan. Thank you, Mr. Becker, for calling in. Andy, everybody for listening. We're past 9 o'clock now, so we're going to go ahead and start wrapping it up. Let you guys continue with whatever debauchery and fun you have for the rest of your Tuesday evening planned. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night to the Freshwater Side of the Kayak Fishing Radio with Mark Wheeler. Thursday, Chip Gibson, and bring it back next Monday with Redfish Chuck down in Florida. I don't think I have anything else to offer. There's nothing super hot, fast, fun, or exciting coming up here locally, so we're kind of on our vacation mode, if you will, as far as events. Everybody's just on vacation fishing mode. Have a good time. Pay attention to the weather because it's the time of year where those little pop-up storms come like we had yesterday. Boy, there was some good lightning and thunder, but at the same time, the fishing's going to be incredible now. We're definitely in the even weather pattern, if you will. So it's going to be hot, warm, muggy, and buggy, as we like to say. So if you don't like that, then I don't know what else to tell you, but that's where we're at now. So get out there, have some fun, stay in touch with us. If you got anything coming up, please let us know. That's all I got. I'm done. Chris, what you got?
Don't really have much, but with upcoming Father's Day, I once again would like to give a special shout-out to our friend Philly Joe, Chuck Wren, and everybody else, all the other fathers out there that did take their children fishing last Sunday, along with Mark, our daughter Amara. All the fathers out there, take your children fishing. They are our next generation angler. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Good night.